Wearing a lampshade for entertainment purposes only, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A genetically superior Medicare podcast. And now proving he wasn't born in a barn, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It's not a podcast only for lazy men, but it's a podcast for lazy ladies as well. We're happy to have everybody who wants to listen. And frankly, I'm happy even if you just download it and you don't want to listen. Maybe you don't care about Medicare anymore, but just keep on downloading future episodes and it'll look like you're interested. And if anybody ever asks you, we will say, yes, I listen religiously and I'll be happy. And any sponsors that we have in the future will also be happy. Anyway, I am Doug Jones. As you heard Drew McMillan just say, I am your Medicare expert. And probably that crown will be worn for a long, long time, at least the rest of this week, and who knows, maybe next week too. Drew McMillan is my Canadian nephew, who is a big-time entertainer in Canada. He's also the host of the television program Powerboat TV, that's cleverly named, and if you're a Yank and you want to watch it, watch Drew in action, then go to powerboattv.com, and you will see Drew performing his hosting duties starting with the beginning of the 2020 season. And he's in almost every show, not all, but almost every show up to the current year, which is the 2021 season, as I recall. Anyway, we're here to help people deal with their transition from Obamacare to Medicare, or regular life to Medicare life. That's what we're here for. I wrote the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, which is on sale at, what is it on sale? It's on sale at Amazon.com. And if you search for the book, don't put in the year that you think it's supposed to be. Just put in the title of the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, and you'll come up with several books from prior years. But the one you're going to want is the one that has the red 2021 on the cover. That's the current one. And I'm hoping that there are going to be many more after this, but for this period of time, the most current information available to you through my book is the book with the red 2021 on the cover. And you can buy that in paperback form. And we actually slice the price almost in half by removing the color from the illustration. So it's only $8 to get the best Medicare guide ever. $8. Now, if you want to spend even less than that, if you're really cheap, then you can get the electronic book, the ebook, or as Amazon calls it, the Kindle version. You can get that for $3.80. Someday, often in the future, we don't know when, we don't know if, we don't know how, the audiobook will become available. You can listen to these dulcet tones and ad nauseum, and that will be available. I don't know what the cost is going to be because I'm not allowed to set the price for that, but they say it's coming up. I don't believe them. I think maybe that's never going to happen, but right now it is in audio review status. It's been there ever since January 20th, and Randy and I are just hoping. I mean, we got our fingers crossed. We got our toes crossed. We've had correspondence telling us that, yes, you're in line. And so we have nothing but optimistic thoughts about when that book's going to be available. And speaking of Randy, he's my favorite dial twister and technical expert or technical engineer. Yeah, technical engineer. Randy Carson is with us. Hello, Randy. How you doing today?
Doug, how are you? You're looking particularly dapper and wide awake today.
You might want to clean off those glasses because you're misinformed, sadly misinformed.
I'm misinformed.
Your eyeballs are
misinformed. Oh my gosh. I thought I probably should, I don't know. Should I tell the audience how I had to get you on the microphone today?
Might be a good idea because they wonder about some of these things. And
yeah. You know, when I logged into Zoom and there was just an empty mic there with nobody, I thought, where in the world is Doug? And finally, I had to have Mrs. Doug check it out, and she had to drag him kicking and screaming out from underneath his vet.
Well,
he was working on the bone stir.
That is the piece of equipment that I roll around underneath the car on, made out of hard plastic and steel wheels, that has a big sticker written by a high-priced lawyer that says, do not eat any portion of this device. Yeah, because it's shaped like a bone. They're afraid that I could become confused and try to eat it instead of rolling around the garage floor on it.
So. Yeah, I do have one more public announcement. I did discover, you know, we kept talking about Kindle.
Yes.
Amazon uses Kindle this, Kindle that, you know, Kindle the other thing. You know what Kindle actually means?
They're set on fire, I guess.
It's Norwegian for no profit to be made.
Oh, really? Well, that's happening with us. There's absolutely zero profit. In fact, I'm in the hole about $1,000 because of this guy that volunteered, you know, for a small price to make it sound real good. And so he did, and I paid him $1,000. Sent it off to Amazon. I thought, this thing sounds so good that they're going to approve it immediately, because they're in the business of selling stuff. They want to make a profit, and they know Uncle Dougie wants to make a profit by selling stuff. So, hey, let's put that sucker up for sale. Nope. 2.5 months. Nope. 2.5 months.
Still nothing.
Still nothing. It's a big goose egg as far as I can tell.
Oh, my God. We would have had better luck going down to Nashville to some of the original, you know, record press companies. There's still some down there.
Yep.
And pressed out a record and sold it in a version of a 45.
I can tell you what I thought about doing. I want to sell audiobooks to people who want to hear the audiobook information. And if Amazon is not going to put the book out to people for them to be able to listen to it, what I can do is ask them to send me an email with their telephone number. And one by one by one, during the course of the year, I will call these people. I'll say, send me $5 or whatever it's going to cost, and I will just read the book to them over the telephone.
That's right.
How's that sound?
That sounds like a great, that sounds like a winner.
I don't often have winning ideas, but this one I think is going to be better than the idea that we're working with now, which is to let Amazon control when it gets put on sale.
Well, you know, by the time they get that thing published, I'm afraid we're going to be, you know, barking on 2022.
Well, how are we going to know if that one gets, you know, recorded, put on sale?
I think what we ought to do is start publishing 2 years ahead. So by the time it actually goes live, we may have hit something.
Okay. All I need is either a crystal ball or a time machine, because in these books, I put a lot of specific information about what the government's doing with Medicare for the coming year. Now, how can I have a book about Medicare without the government, the numbers and stuff? Do I make them up? Do I tell people this is like speculation? I threw a dart at, you know, at the wall, and this is what I came up with.
I have an answer for you.
Lay it on me.
Call Daniela.
Oh, yes, yes. Daniela is the nice lady who not only told me that the book was, it's in line for being dealt with.
It's a book.
Yeah, that's right. And you sent it in. We know that much. And she also said, I hope your family is doing well and they're healthy and everything.
We're starving to death because we've got no income from that book. I spent my last 15 cents trying to write this book.
I don't think she even cares about our welfare. It's just completely ridiculous. So it is, it's pathetic. But anyway, on less pathetic and more solid and happy ground, I've got a handful of correspondence that I took out of the mailbag last episode. And instead of risking my the loss of blood from whatever creatures live at the bottom of the mailbag, I didn't put them back. I just kept them out. And I thought, hey, what the heck? Let's read some more mailbag items. People seem to like that. And Randy finds it safer to go have a drink at his favorite watering hole in Cave Creek after we've done some mailbag items, because the crowds there seem to like it. And so they don't get mad at him when he shows up like they do when we haven't done mailbag items for a while. So And the first thing I thought I'd read is one from one of our favorite correspondents. This is from Steve. And Steve actually had two different subjects we discussed. One was about how his haircut lady managed to get health insurance that didn't cost very much money. And the answer to that was basically, I believe that she had a special kind of product that was called short-term or temporary health insurance. She wasn't old enough to have Medicare, which is a pretty reasonable cost. Medicare is not bad when it comes to value for the money that you lay out for Medicare. It's a real good deal, and it'll probably stay that way unless Congress decides to screw it up. So then I said to Steve, let's see here. Steve somehow mentioned, he said, when I lived in North Carolina and I was looking for a job in IT, I was told about a company, and they were here in Texas, who did employee leasing. What this meant was for people working hourly jobs where insurance was hard to come by, a bowling alley was given as an example. The people would work for this employee leasing company on paper. That would give them a big pool of people, and they could provide insurance for them. It sounded like something worthwhile. Recently, I tried searching on this and could not find a thing. So did I dream it, or did it just not work out? Thanks, Steve. So that's his question. And my response was, dear Steve, employee leasing companies were a growing phenomenon back in the last millennium, but I haven't heard much about them lately. Your average group insurance company considered employee leasing companies and association groups to be undesirable, and it was difficult to find coverage for the employees involved. Insurance underwriters perceived them as having higher claims experience than typical employer groups. The main problem is that the employees are not perceived to have a legitimate employer-employee relationship. If an individual was able to join an employee leasing firm or an association, it was thought that the motivation was only to receive health insurance. Typically, a person whose primary motivation is to receive health insurance was one who was sicker than average and most likely to generate medical claims, at least more so than an average person. These high-risk people are the ones that were used as political motivation for the eventual passage of Obamacare and the move toward a single payer system, because that's all Obamacare is. Obamacare is just one step closer to the system the Russians have, or the Canadians, where the government pays for everything. So then I closed by saying to Steve, those are my observations anyway. As always, thank you for writing. I always like it when Steve writes, because he works hard at coming up with pithy, not pissy, but pithy questions that cause me to have to think and probably do a lot of research. And so anyway, it is, it's always fun to get mail from Steve. It doesn't happen often enough. So digging deeper into the pile of correspondence, I'm still working on correspondence from 2020. And what we have here is a letter from a Cheryl. And Cheryl says, my name is Sherry, but she signs it Cheryl, but then she says Cherry. I am 67 years old. Presently, I'm working full-time and still participating in my employer's health plan. My goal is to work until age 70. I am a widow. My husband's military service entitles me to TRICARE for life. I am enrolled in Medicare Part A and Part B. This is a requirement of TRICARE, even though I am working. I am also enrolled in a Aetna Medicare plan. I have used benefits from none of these plans, none of them, since my employer plan pays first. I am overwhelmed by it all. Do I need a plan to supplement TRICARE? If yes, what works? What should I keep and or drop? I live in Orlando, Florida. Anyone I can talk to who can help walk me through this maze going forward? Thank you. And I said, thank you for writing. You certainly have an embarrassment of riches and options here. I can see where it would be easy to be confused. Not sure I can give you hard and fast answers, but maybe steer you in a helpful direction. The first thought that occurs to me is that your employer has more than 20 employees, so the group insurance coverage is primary to anything else. It is the employer's group plan. Oh, my question to her, is the employer's group plan expensive for you to participate in? Some employees are required to contribute a substantial amount of money towards the cost. Also, I wonder if the employer has a helpful HR department staffed with knowledgeable people. You need some good in-person advice, and that might be one place to get it. My second question is whether or not the TRICARE coverage is convenient and easy for you to access. I am not an expert on VA or TRICARE benefits, but everything I have heard or read is that some people find them convenient to use, but others do not. One thing that seems to be consistent is that the drug coverage is considered as good as Part D plans, so you do not risk a Part D late enrollment penalty as long as you have TRICARE. Third, you mentioned an Aetna Medicare plan. I assume that is separate from your employer's group plan and your employer's group insurance. And if that is true, I am thinking that that is not protection that you actually need. I don't know whether it is a low-cost or free Medicare Advantage plan or a Medicare supplement plan with a regular monthly premium. The way it was described in your message, however, it seemed like this plan is not really necessary and may be adding to your confusion. However, I am not inclined to recommend dropping anything until we are sure that you don't need it. To summarize my thoughts, TRICARE for Life can be a valuable benefit if you are able to use it effectively. Your employer's plan is good to have unless it's too expensive or is not user-friendly. It may not be essential for you to keep if TRICARE provides very good protection. Finally, the Aetna plan you have is a wild card, and I don't know enough about it to be able to help you. To find more information about TRICARE, I found a number for the Defense Manpower Data Center, 800-538-9552. Don't forget to think about your employer's HR department as a possible resource. And of course, I would welcome another message from you giving me more information than I have now. Thanks again for reaching out. So that was, I don't know if TRICARE for Life is radically different than regular VA medical for former active duty, but it might be, well, since TRICARE covers dependents, it may be more convenient to use because it may be that they will pay your doctor for treating you rather than forcing you to go to a Medicare or a VA hospital or a VA facility of some kind. But I never heard from her again, so she did not deign to respond to my lengthy answer by telling me more detail about her. And so here we have a message from Lori. And Lori says, "Hi, Mr. Jones. Although I haven't gotten through them all yet, I've been enjoying your podcast. So you're the one." Well, thank you, Lori. "Much of what I read in your book is clarified a number of things, but one elusive element still needs clarifying, for me anyway, as I cannot seem to find an understandable answer to this. I will be 65 in January and have already filed for Medicare Part A. I did not opt for Part B as I am still working and do not plan to retire until I reach my full retirement age of 66 years and 4 months in May of 2022. My spouse filed for Medicare Part A just prior to turning 65, is already at his full retirement age, but did not opt for Part B since my spouse is covered under my employer-provided health insurance. Based on what I have read, neither of us will not be penalized. So neither of us will not, double negative, neither of us will be penalized," I think she meant to say, "for not signing up for Part B, since we are already covered in, under my employer's health insurance plan. So my question is this. Since I will have health insurance right up until I retire from my job, when is the best time to sign up for Medicare Part B in order to avoid being penalized? How soon before I reach full retirement age should I sign up for my Medigap plan of choice? Assume this would also be the time for my spouse to also sign up for a Medigap plan. Thanks in advance, Lori." And I said, "Welcome aboard, Lori. It sounds to me like you're doing everything correctly. I am guessing that your employer has more than 20 participants in the group plan. As long as that is so, it will be, remain primarily, as long as that is so, it will remain primary until you cease to be an active employee. That point is when the penalty clock starts ticking. So when you have selected your retirement date, you each can enroll in Part B 3 months ahead of the month in which you want it to begin, likely the first of that month. Then your employer coverage will terminate the day before your Part B start date. You may also arrange for your Medicare supplement to begin on the same day as Part B, always the first of the month. That's right after your group plan expires. If this isn't absolutely clear, let me know and I will explain it a different way. Meanwhile, thanks for listening to our podcast. So I'm hoping that was clear. Basically, she picks the date she's going to retire. She tells an insurance company or her agent, which I'm hoping will be me, when she wants to retire and when she wants her retirement, her Medicare supplement coverage to begin and her Medicare Part B to begin. And then I, as the agent, would help her coordinate so that those things happen in the right order at the right times. So sounds complicated to the outsider, but for an old hand like me, it is not complicated at all. It's what I do. So how are we doing cricket-wise?
We have been cricketized already.
Already. Those crickets have done their dirty work. So I hope the audience has enjoyed the little mailbag participation that we did today.
Yeah, I think I feel like I had a good meal.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Because I like to think that when somebody writes in and asks a question that, frankly, they're asking about something that other people have been thinking about but haven't bothered to ask us about. So that didn't sound like the medical or the jingle bells, that Christmas noises I hear.
No, this was my daughter calling.
Oh, okay.
It didn't. She doesn't really want to talk to me. She wants to talk to her mother.
Of course, they want to discuss pregnancy and things like that, I assume.
Yes, pregnancy and all that stuff, and of which I know nothing, and right. I don't want to know anything.
And even if you wanted to know, you'd be grossed out and in way over your head in short order. So,
anytime I get close to my daughter and pregnancy, I am way in over my head.
Well, if she ever wants to talk about Corvette repair or restoration, have her give me a call. Otherwise, I'm not going to be any good to her either.
Perfect. Perfect. I totally understand. Well, you know, I really, as I said, enjoyed this episode. I had a couple thoughts along the way, but I'll save those for another time.
Well, feel free to lay them on me unless they're going to take a half an hour to figure out.
We'll wait.
Okay. Alrighty. Not a problem.
Well, thank you all for joining us. As always, we thoroughly enjoy having you with us. We didn't have to kick anybody out. We didn't have to have the ushers come shush anybody. None of that. You are all very well behaved. And ultimately, that's the kind of an audience we like. So yeah. As you spent your 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy, the people with their noses pressed against the doors that couldn't get a ticket to get in could still hear him.
Well, that's making it sound like I'm much more in demand than I really am, probably. But anyway, it's really nice to have the audience that we have, and it's been increasing incrementally. Started out slow, and it's slowly increasing. So we're up to almost not embarrassing audience download numbers, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, all I can hear now is, shh, Doug, 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 we need inside, Doug.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, though, you've been doing some very impressive dial twisting, and keep up your good work. So you're making the
thing
sound
very much.
Very good, and it doesn't scare off the potential audience as much as it used to.
It's fun to do, and I thoroughly enjoy it, so, you know. I don't know what else I'd be doing if I had something else to do anyway. So
probably answering the phone when your daughter calls.
Well, no, I always try to get that routed off to my wife. My calls always start out with, "Dad?
Yeah.
How you doing? Fine. Hey, can you send me some money?"
Oh boy.
That was college. That was college. Not sure, now, but
that's fun for the first semester or so. And after that, can you double up on that workload so that maybe you graduate early?
The other thing she was very good at, she went to U of A like you did. Uh-huh. And she was ultimately an expert. And no matter where you were going in Tucson,
yep,
she could get you routed past a grocery store. And then she would say, "Hey, I just need to stop in for a few things." And then my wife would come out with a double cart full of stuff.
Oh, boy.
I go, "What happened to a few things?" "Oh, well, we got a few more." And then somehow or another, guess who got to pay for it?
I'm guessing it's you.
Well, yeah, my wife and my own checking account was the one that paid for it.
Okay, I got the picture now. Your wife actually laid down the check, but it came from your account.
Yeah, well, we had a joint account, still do, so ultimately we both paid for it, but I didn't have to go in. I hate grocery stores, so it was well worth the time sitting out in the Tucson sun, sweating bullets, waiting for the family to come out.
Well, when we first moved to Tucson, we had two Corvettes, no waiting and no air conditioning, which was really smart. This is back in the 70s when a lot of cars didn't have air conditioning. But we then decided later on to trade one of the Corvettes for a 66 Impala that had air conditioning. And that's what we did. And so, frankly, I didn't care where I went. I would just sit there and let the car idle as long as I had to with the AC on. You go shopping, I'll just wait right here. And it worked
out. I got it. I totally understand it.
Big thing about navigating in Tucson, you said your daughter navigated past a grocery store every opportunity she had to plot her route. I managed to drive in Tucson for years without ever making a left turn. And it was a lifesaver, let me tell you, because those people were nuts. And it was better not to cross them by making a left turn. I'd rather make a bunch of right turns and get where I'm going safely.
That reminds me of another story. But we'll save that for another time as a hanging Chad.
Make a note, because you tend to forget the hanging Chads and everybody's frustrated.
I know of a particular situation where there's a person in our neighborhood who shall remain nameless, has an aversion to making right turns.
Those are the best turns to make.
They have to come out of our neighborhood only making left turns, which I have actually tried, and I'm not sure I can do it.
I'm saying OCD. OCD, 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 because right turns are the best turns to make. And if they can't do it, then that's something weird. Anyway, I want to thank the audience for joining us today. Go buy the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. And listen for Randy and I to meet you here again next time for another episode.
That's right. Buy 6 books. Pay for 6 books. We've got them on sale.
Such a deal. Such a deal we have for you.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate your time. And we are going to land the plane and sign her off.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Randy. Bye-bye.